bless you guys. God bless you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're all welcome to God's awesome presence. I'm going to be a bit cheeky and assume that most of the students have finished their exams. Yeah? Thank God for success. It is well in Jesus' name. Every exam written, the results will be positive in the mighty name of Jesus. How many people feel a bit hot in here? It's hot, right? Amen. It's boiling. I know that's the thing. God created us all differently. I know that there's some people that are loving, you know, this heat. It is. Some people are shaking their heads. Some guys, it's very hot, right? Man, boiling. I remember when I was in the uni once, just a quick joke, and I went for, you know, it was a program that some student fellowship organized, and that room was boiling, as in seriously boiling. And this young lady came out, and she was like, you know what? The Holy Spirit is going to move here right now. And if you're not born again, you begin to feel the heat of the Holy Spirit. And in a boiling room, we're now thinking to ourselves, so if we're feeling hot, does that mean we're not Christians? We're not saying that today. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Thank God for the heat. Let's see. Even Dela is fanning herself. Maybe we should get a fan in here. It is well. Amen. This year has been declared the year of exaltation. The year of exaltation. And for the past few weeks, we've been talking about, you know, what it really means to be exalted, to be lifted up. Today I want to talk about ultimate exaltation. Ultimate exaltation through service. Ultimate exaltation through service. I thank God for the sister that led the corporate prayers. I was thinking to myself, maybe she's been looking at my notes. But she was saying so many things that sounds like what I'm talking about. But you know, when you think about exaltation, more often than not, we tend to look at it from a physical, material point of view. So someone says to you, you're going to be exalted. What might come to mind? A, I'm going to get promoted at work. A, you know, my material wealth is going to increase. So I've got some investment somewhere. You know, you're going to get a call from your stockbroker that all of a sudden, you know, the prices of your stocks have gone up. And in one day, you're worth 10 times what your stock was worth. You think exaltation, you think, oh, you know what, my coast is going to get enlarged, my territory, I'm going to buy more, you know, houses, build more houses, the works. You think exaltation, and you're thinking, hey, all right, so I haven't been doing well in my studies before. Exaltation, I'm going to begin to excel. You know, I'm moving from, hopefully there's no one like that here. I'm going to move from third class or pass to third class, from third class to 2-2, second class lower, from 2-2 to second class upper, and to first class. I'm going to make distinction, and you're thinking exaltation, so that is me. I've been down there before, I'm going up there. And that's all well and good, that's fine. It is all exaltation. So material blessings, physical blessings, exaltation. Hey, there are two of us in the family. Yes, God is going to add to our numbers. So we'll become three, we'll become four. There are four of us right now, and you want twins. And God says, you know, yes, exaltation, you get the twins. Right now, it's just me. Exaltation, yes, I'm going to meet that, you know, beautiful lady God has prepared. Exaltation, I'm going to meet that guy God has, you know, prepared for me. That's, you know, moving you to the next level. Praise the Lord. exaltation, I'm in my first year, I'll definitely get to my second year, no assholes. I'm in my second year, I'll get to my third year, no assholes. I'm in college, I'll enter uni, no assholes. See, where I grew up, man, if you make uni first time around, man, it's awesome. There's something, I don't know what they call it now, but they used to call it JAM, the Joint Admission and Matriculation Board. And they'll say that JAM will jam you. J-A-M-B will J-A-M-U. In the sense that you see guys 4, 5, 6 years. I actually know a guy that did it like 7 times before he finally got into uni. So even getting into uni first time around is exaltation. Praise the Lord. But, you know, like I said, that's all well and good. But we need to ask ourselves, is exaltation just limited to material blessings? Is it just limited to, you know, physical things? If we look at Proverbs 23, verse 18, you know, it tells us that there's surely a hereafter. There's surely a time to come. Proverbs 23, 18. It says, for surely there is an end. KJV, please. Not KJV. You know what I noticed about KJV? We love KJV. My first Bible was a King James Version Bible, and a lot of the verses I know in the scriptures are from KJV. But, you know, I ask myself, how many times do I talk? And I'm like, for thou knowest, O God, that thou willest, doest thou. I don't talk like that. I've never talked like that. And sometimes KJV is awesome. Get a KJV, but also get a translation. Sometimes the English in KJV, you probably need a degree in English history or literature to understand some of the words. It says, there's surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Praise the Lord. There is surely a future hope. There's surely a future life. There's surely a hereafter. So everything we do, no matter how long we live in life, this is just temporary. My grandparents died in their 90s. They were quite young. My parents, clocking 80, young. But you think about it, all that is just like this. It's a fleeting breath. Say this, when I was 15, I remember vividly because I had this conversation with my teacher in school. I was in secondary school. I, you know, I was telling my teachers about love. You know, what, you know, yes, love. As in relationship love. And one of them was like, you this small boy, what do you know about love? But I knew. And then I grew up a bit more. Got into the university and I realized I didn't know Jack. I mean, going to the university, maybe, yeah, I was 17 and I thought I knew something. So, secondary school, I didn't know Jack. Got into university, thought, yes, now I know. Graduated from university, started working, realized I didn't know Jack. 10 years down the line, still learning. 20 years down the line, still learning. 50 years down the line, I'll still be learning if Christ tarries. Praise the Lord. Bottom line, we're here on earth for a period. If we live 120 years, so long as we're in good health and God wants it to be fine. But even all that is, you know, pretty much a short time in comparison to eternity. There is a hereafter. There is something that is coming after this time. And you know, if we look at Matthew 25, verse 46, it makes us realize that even, yes, we spend time on earth, but there's something going to happen after this life. Some people are going to go away with God. There'll be eternal punishment. For some people, it'll be eternal joy. It'll be eternal life. And so we're saying, I live saying the life we live on earth is a grain of sand. Eternity is the beach. So how do you compare a single grain of sand to all the sands on the seashore, on the beach? You can't. You can't quantify it. And that's what eternity is like. Now, in Revelation 21, it tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. One thing you've seen in that new heaven and new earth is there will be no more tears. There will be no more crying. It says God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 21:4, if you please. Revelation 21:4, it says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Now, if ever, as far as I'm concerned, if ever there's a definition of exaltation, I think this will be it. That you know that you have a temporary life. Things could go fantastically well for you now. But you know that there's an eternity. What's the point of, you know, living life to the full for 100 years? And eternity comes and you can't enjoy. There's a Nigerian artist. The guy's dead now. He sang a song and he said, you know, suffer, suffer for world, amen. Enjoy for heaven, amen. Which kind of world be that? You don't want to suffer on earth and enjoy in heaven. But at the same time, you don't want to suffer. You don't want to enjoy on earth and then suffer in eternity. That is not an option. We're talking about service as the ultimate exaltation. We're saying the ultimate exaltation is being with Jesus Christ in eternity. Is having that life that comes afterwards. You know, our verse for the year, John 12:32, Jesus Christ said that if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. That lifting up is not just for now. So it's not just about your studies. It's not just about your relationships. It's not just about your professional work. It's not just about your worship here on earth. Him lifting you up and drawing you to him is about eternity. It's about the life to come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, the ultimate exaltation is not what we will benefit here on earth, but what we will gain in eternity. So that is the ultimate exaltation. But we're saying that service, you know, ultimate exaltation through service. What is service about? You know, the passage we read today, Matthew 24, there are different schools of thought when it comes to that passage. It's one of those deep, if I may use the word, deep scriptures, because it relates to the end times. And there's a popular saying that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know, you hear death, you run, but hey, heaven, yes, I want to be there. And a lot of us, we shy away from reading things that have to do with the end times. Matthew 24, you know, the passage we read, the old chapter talks about the end times. Now, some believe it's talking about rapture. A lot of scholars argue that the events in Matthew 24 relate to the Jews. So it's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Rapture, Jesus Christ appears in the skies. He calls the saints, the saved Christians, to him. All those that have accepted him, they go up to meet him. Second coming, or what some refer to as the second advent, Jesus Christ comes to the earth. Praise the Lord. So rapture, second coming. Now, some say, you know, you read that passage, Jesus was specifically speaking to the Jewish nation, to, you know, the nation of Israel. And you get an indication of that. You're talking about the, you know, the prophecy given by Daniel. You get an indication of that. But you also get a sense that some of the things said there relates to rapture. believe that our concern shouldn't be so much whether it is rapture or second coming, but the lessons that we can learn from there. And we read Matthew 24 from verse 36. There are a few lessons there for us. Firstly, whether we're talking about rapture or the second coming, Jesus Christ will come at a time that no one expects. Nobody knows the time except God. And you see that in verse 36. 24:36 says, no one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So, yes, he came once. We all know he came once. The Bible says it. Even the Quran acknowledges that Jesus Christ came. So, evidence. And he said, if he came once, he's coming again. Now, whether they accept he is the Son of God or not is a different issue. But they recognize that, you know, he came. We all know he came. History tells us he came. It's been documented. And he's coming back again. There's no point trying to guess when he's going to come again. People have tried it. I remember there was one in the late 90s that some folks were saying, you know, he's coming. And I think the Mormons in about 2003 or thereabout said it was coming back again, you know, and you were seeing all sorts. But nobody, and they've been trying for ages. Some people, you know, since I've been born again, no. Even since I've been born, I've been hearing people saying he's coming again. Hasn't come. But does that change the fact that he's going to come again? It doesn't. So what we know for a fact, Jesus Christ is coming at a time no one expects. No one knows but God, but he will definitely come back. The question is, what would you be doing when he comes? Secondly, all right, like I said, I mean, since I've been young, we've been talking about him coming back. But he hasn't come back. Do I put my life on hold because he hasn't come? No, life goes on. Life goes on while we wait for his coming. I mean, verse 37 says, as in the days of Noah, what were people doing? They were eating, they were drinking, they were getting married. Life goes on. We have to live our lives. We live our lives knowing that he's coming back. We don't know when. But there's an expectation for us to do something. Third point, seeing that we don't know when he's coming back. Like in the days of Noah, they said they were eating, drinking, getting married, doing all sorts. But they were caught unawares. We need to be alert. We need to be alert. There's a story of a young man that went to meet Jesus Christ and said, you know, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus Christ said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with pretty much everything. And love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Wait, thank God for everyone said that there. Say, okay, you know, how many of us really love God? Don't raise your hands. If I ask, I'm sure hands will shoot up. Like, yeah, man, I love the Lord with all my heart. I worship him. I this and that. And we, you know, we start using superlatives to describe our relationship with God. Answer this question in your mind. If your flatmates, your classmates, your colleagues at work, your neighbors, if they were to come in right now and we were worshiping and they see you worshiping, what will be their reaction? Think about it. Will they be shocked? You know, some folks, they say, oh, there's a church there, and they peep in. Some of your friends, if they peep in now and they see you in church, would it be a shock to them? Or would they be like, oh yeah, no, it's him. Yeah, we know he's a Christian. We know there's something different about him. What will be the reaction to people seeing you within these four walls? The four walls of the church, is it somewhere where you can talking about service as the ultimate exaltation, or ultimate exaltation through service. We say that we need to be alert because we don't know when it's coming. But what does it mean to be alert? I think being alert is engaging with God, engaging in the service He's called you to. Matthew 24:45 says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time?" So who's the faithful person? Who's that servant that, you know, the Lord has called to give his household food at the proper time? One, as believers, we're called to service. So it's all well and good you know how to worship God. It's all well and good you've given your whole heart to Him. But are you engaging in His service? Who is the faithful and wise servant? Secondly, the fact that you're born again means that you have a responsibility. You're born again, you're saved, not just for your sake. Yes, you're born again, you're saved so that you can make heaven. But it's not so that you alone will make heaven. And that's where a lot of Christians, it's you know, this notion of me, myself, and I. It's all about me. It's, you know, once I'm good, that's fine. I remember when I was young, I went to join the prayer department. You know, I joined the prayer department. I thought to myself that, you know what, if anything, those guys that pray, they're probably closer to God. And my goal was that heaven, I'm going to make it whatever it takes. So I thought to myself, you know, join the guys that are praying. Because that way, you know, you'll be on the right track. It's good. But it's not just about praying. We had a night vigil, an all-night prayer meeting once. And, you know, all those big guys were seriously praying. And, you know, we say they were skabashing, speaking in tongues, serious tongues and everything. And, you know, young little me, I was there too. And I opened my eyes, and it was in the middle of the night. I don't know whether it's real or not, but I kind of saw someone. Some people might get where I'm coming from. I saw someone outside the church walking about, just wearing, you know, white. I had a white robe, and he had... this thing that chiefs hold. The staff. You're okay. Tell them up. Yeah, you know, the guy had, like, you know, some staff with him, and he was carrying a calabash, a small bowl, and it was as if it was sprinkling going around. I don't know who asked me to open my eyes, but when I saw that, I knew that my own prayer is not quite there. So what I just did was, the folks that were praying, they were standing in a circle. I just moved into the middle. So that I'm in the middle. If anything is going to happen, those guys that are seriously praying, if it happens and, you know, it gets them, then who am I? But, you know, seriously praying guys, and if it can affect them, then I know I was safe in the middle. But hey, we do everything to be in the right place with God. But we shouldn't stop there. That's the point. We shouldn't stop there. It says, who's that faithful and wise servant who the master has set over his household? The master set the servant over his household to do something. He gave him a responsibility to feed his household, to give them food at the proper time. Are we as Christians, you're born again, you're that faithful servant. Are you a wise servant? Are you giving food to his household at the proper time? Are you engaging in his service as he's asked you to do? Verse 46 says, blessed is that servant who his master will find doing so when he comes. To be blessed, to have ultimate exaltation, you need to engage in what God has called you to do. He needs to find you doing it, like I said, if our friends and neighbors, colleagues, classmates, if they were to come in, would they be shocked that we're Christians? You know, there's this famous quote that says that for evil to prevail, all it takes is that for good men to do nothing. That evil will prevail if good men do nothing. Things will go wrong if we keep quiet. That's the only requirement. If we stop doing what we're expected to do, then things will progressively get worse. I remember it was a few weeks ago. How many people have seen, is it The Force Awakens? Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Is it interesting? Okay. All right, I don't know because I haven't seen it yet. But, you know, when that film, for some of us, we grew up on Star Wars. Come on. Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back. Which other one was there? No Star Wars fans in this. Oh, gosh. Can you imagine? Anyway, I think The Force Awakens is the 7th in the series. It's been going on since the 70s. That's how far back Star Wars goes. When that film was about to come out, there was an advert that the Church of England put together. And that advert was basically the Lord's Prayer. In that advert, you had different people from different walks of life reciting parts of the Lord's Prayer. So one person says, "Our Father." A young lady comes, "Who art in heaven?" A policeman, "Hallowed be thy name." And this advert, the idea was to show it before the film. This advert was banned. How many people know about the story? How many people signed the petition against the ban? Christians, well, you know, let's sign this petition. Let's, you know. Donald Trump opened his mouth and said something about Mexicans. No, he said something. Was that about the Mexicans? Muslims. And within a couple of days, a petition to stop him, banning him from coming to the UK, was nearing 500,000. And for weeks, the petition to allow the Lord's Prayer to be shown was struggling to get a few hundred people. I'm not talking saying hundreds of thousands. And we ask ourselves, there's so many Christians. Even if all of us that are here right now, if we signed that petition, yes, I'm sure we're up to 100 in it, close to. That's just in this small hall. If we had all signed that petition, imagine the difference we would make. How do we stand up for the things of God? Are we satisfied? I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. That's fine. And we leave it at that. I was talking to a pastor friend, and he was like, "Ah, nah, you know, the way the Anglican Church, the way they did that Lord's Prayer was, you know, was ineffective. They weren't serious about it. How could some people be standing and, you know, just flippantly reciting the Lord's Prayer?" You know, and I said to myself, I said, "Come, do you know how many people are going to watch Star Wars? That film is a blockbuster, even before it came out. Do you know how many people are going to watch it? And do you know how many people will not hear the Lord's Prayer in any form? But for the fact that they went to watch Star Wars, and that is a seed that has been sown. So don't tell me that because, you know, they didn't do it right, or they weren't serious, or they don't get themselves, so I can't support them. I'm very holy and spiritual." Do you see where I'm coming from? It was an avenue. And if we think they didn't do it right, let it be there, let people see it, and then let's build on that. And hang on a moment. Do you understand what they're talking about? Like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Do you understand what you just saw? Does that make sense to you? That is an opportunity. I'm sure when you went to watch Star Wars, it wasn't just you. I used to do that. Weird. I go to the movies on my own. When I was a student, just get bored and get up, I'll go to the movies. And so it's not weird because I did it. So if you're doing that, it's not weird. But, you know, it's more fun when you go in companies. But boredom is not good, you know. You wake up and you're tired, you're ready or whatever. You just walk down to Freeman's Common. Oh, dear. Excuse me. For evil to prevail, good men just need to keep quiet and do nothing. Jesus Christ said that he has to do the work of him that sent him while it is day. Because the night is coming when no one can work. That's the example of Jesus Christ. He knew that there was a pressing work to be done. John 9:4. And he went about doing that. What work are we engaging in? What are we doing? And what we need to ask yourself, or what we need to ask ourselves is, if there is a job to be done, and I'm not doing it, if the person that owns the entire world and the earth and everything comes, what position would I find myself? There's some things I wonder about. You know, if there's no God, if there's no God, if Christianity is just a farce, I'm not worse off. I look at myself today, I'm not worse off. By God's grace, I've done well. And he's taking me to greater heights still. But if there is no eternity, and the end comes, I've learned to live life without regrets. I look at my past, I'm like, no regrets. So if the end comes today, I'm not worse off. But if there is a God, if he's real, and like Proverbs said that there's a hereafter, then if I'm not in line, the grain of sand, how would you compare that grain of sand to the seashore, to all the sands on the seashore? Serving Christ, you've got nothing to lose. Giving your life to Christ, you've got nothing to lose. You know, the verse after Matthew 20, or the chapter after Matthew 24, talks about the virgins, and some wise, some foolish. Some were prepared, some were alert, some were not. In that same chapter, in verse 35 of Matthew 25, this is what Jesus Christ had, you know, he said, the Lord will say to some, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. And to some others, he will say, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them and say, truly I say to you, as you did not do it, to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. That is God's word. There is a place for service. There's a place to serve God. How do we serve God? Share your story with others. Let them know of his coming kingdom. You've been saved. Where were you before you were saved? How was your life? Some people, that's all the story they need to hear to make a difference to them. How are you doing that? Really, how many people know you're a Christian? Think about it. We're saying that there's surely a hereafter. There is an eternity which is way bigger than whatever we can experience. So he does it in 2016, he does it in 2017, 2018, 19, 20. If Christ doesn't come soon, for the rest of your life, he continues to do it. That is the grain of sand. So what's going to happen with the seashore? Shall we rise to our feet? We're going to pray for ourselves. We're talking about the ultimate exaltation through service. The ultimate exaltation through service. Before you can talk about serving God, you need to have a relationship with Him. You need to yield to Him. You need to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. We said He came once, He's definitely coming again. That is the reality. Even as peradventure you're here and you don't have that relationship with Him, you haven't accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, and you know that your life here on earth is just a fleeting breath. No matter how old you live to be, and you don't know when you'll go. No man knows when they're going to go. If we know when we're going to go, then it makes life so much easier. But we can't. We don't know. There was a story of a man that said he's going to give his life to Christ at the point of death. And one day he was walking, he was crossing the road, and a car was coming straight towards him. And all he could do was just stare at the car. His mind went totally blank. And he realized that there's no way. If that car had hit him, he would have died and not given his life to Christ. So even the best laid plans can go wrong. If you're here today, all eyes closed. If you're here today, you're not born again. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You want to enjoy that ultimate exaltation. Can I just a show of hands? Just raise your hands and we'll pray with you. Or you're here, you are born again. You've given your life to Christ, but it's all about you. You know that you have not been working and walking as you ought. Is your light shine? The Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Is your light shining? And are men seeing your good works? Are they glorifying God because of you? Are people coming to Christ because of the life you're living? Or is your life limiting others from coming to God? You know that you haven't been operating as you should. You know that you haven't been given God the time due Him. You haven't been given Him the relationship due Him. You know that you haven't been serving Him as you ought to. Just raise your hands and I'll pray with you. Everlasting Father, you see the hands that are up this day. Throughout this morning, we've confessed you as Lord. How we love you. We've sang it. We've read it. We've said it. But Lord, the hands of your children that are up, saying that they know they can be in a better place with you. Lord, we pray for each and every hand that is up this day that, dear God, a renewed relationship. Not just a physical exaltation, but a spiritual exaltation that you give to your children in the name of Jesus. For as many, oh God, that have drawn back, that are missing the mark, we pray, oh Lord, that you will restore in the name of Jesus. The joy of knowing you, the joy of serving you, I pray, Father God, that you give to them in the mighty name of Jesus. As they make that choice, that conscious decision, to begin to walk afresh with you, O Lord, I pray, Father, that you will be real to them. More than ever before, be real to them. Because the swans will not draw back. They will not lay their hands on the plow and look back in the mighty name of Jesus. As they've set their eyes on the ultimate goal, Lord, you see them through in the name of Jesus. For each and every one of us, Lord, we bless your name. We thank you. We thank you because it's all about you. Our life, our all, everything, it is about you. And we acknowledge this, O God. Say, Lord, have your way. Do what only you can do in our lives. As we go into this new week, take preeminence. Dear God, surprise each and every one of us in here today in an awesome way. That we'll come back and we'll say, yes, God has been good. And is good to me all the time. That will be our confession in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Everlasting Father. For we pray in Jesus' name. And shall we share the grace and fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow.